Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word today is written in Luke chapter 1. We read there verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. So far the text. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Savior, whose entrance into the world as a tiny baby at Bethlehem we are preparing to celebrate, dearly beloved of God. It's customary for parents of newborns to send out announcements about the birth of the child that has just entered the world to family and to friends to let them know the exciting news. Birth announcements generally include information like the baby's name, the time of birth, its weight and size. Birthdays of little ones are indeed happy days, well worth publicizing, because every new human life is something that is made possible only by the power of Almighty God. Each of us has reason to say with the psalmist, "Lord, you've searched me, you know me, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works," and that my soul knows very well. This morning, however, we're going to give attention to the birth or the birth announcement of all birth announcements, the one that transcends all others for its glory and wonder. I want to ask the question this morning, what kind of a child will the baby Jesus be? And also then consider the Bible's wonderful answer. He's going to be a human child, born of Mary. But at the same time, a divine child conceived by the power of God the Holy Spirit. The announcement of Jesus' birth was unique and special in a number of ways. Not only was it given 9 months before the birth of the child, normally such announcements come after the child's born, but is given a very special manner, and our text records it in the sixth month, that is, in the sixth month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth with John the Baptist. God sent one of his leading angels, named Gabriel, down to earth to the Galilean town of Nazareth to inform a young teenage girl, Mary, who had just become engaged to a man who was employed in Nazareth as a carpenter, to let her know she was the one God chose to be the mother of the long-awaited Messiah. She was probably right in the middle of common, ordinary household chores, maybe cooking in the kitchen or cleaning, when Gabriel appeared out of the blue and spoke those words, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And by the way, as we sang in that hymn, highly favored, that refers to God's special blessing, picking this woman out of all the women of the world, even though she too was a sinner and needed a Savior just as much as everybody else. But she was favored in that way. She was the one God picked. And when the angel noticed how Mary was taken aback, her mind overcome with angst over this announcement, what did my eyes see? What did my ears just hear? She was then, or the angel spoke to her this next word, "Fear not. Fear not, Mary. God loves you dearly. You're going to be the mother of a son. You're going to give him the name Jesus. He's going to be very great. He's going to be known as the Most High God. The Lord God is going to give to your child the throne of his forefather David, and he's going to be a king over the house of Jacob forever. His reign is never going to have an end." And we first want to note about this amazing birth announcement, how Gabriel made it very clear that the coming Messiah king was indeed going to be born as a common, ordinary human child. When he'd make his entrance into the world 9 months later, he'd have tiny little fingers just like any other baby, little button of a nose. He'd inform his parents about his empty stomach by crying. We sometimes sing, you know, the little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes. He probably cried and fussed. He would be dependent upon his parents, as all newborns are, needing their tender, loving care and their protection. His body would need to be cleaned, and he would need to get changed. Everything that's true about ordinary human children. Why is that significant? Well, it means that when the Christ child entered our world, he was born as ordinary human children, also subject to the law of God. It was necessary for the Christ child, as it grew up to adolescence and adulthood, to fulfill every one of the precepts of God's holy law, even as it is required for all children. A big difference, of course, is that the baby Jesus, as he grew up, did not need to do this for his own sake, but for our sake. And that's something that we do well to remember and carefully reflect on, in order that we might experience all the joy and the peace and the blessedness of Christmas. May we not neglect to consider and ponder this all-important aspect of the work of the Lord Jesus, his coming here and placing himself under the law for us as our substitute. As Paul writes in Galatians, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption as sons, become God's own sons and daughters through faith in this Christ child. Another reason for our Christmas joy also stems from our Spirit-given faith and understanding that Jesus was born of Mary as an ordinary human child so that he could then serve as our substitute by suffering the punishment we deserve for our sins of not keeping God's law perfectly by dying the death of the cross, writes the author to the Hebrews. Since we are people of flesh and blood, we have a common physical nature as human beings. He also became a human being so that by going through death as a human being, he might destroy him who holds the power of death, the devil, and set free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. From this, it is obvious that Jesus did not come here to help angels. He didn't come here to save Gabriel or Michael or any of the other millions of angels, but to help us people. It was imperative that he should be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God and make atonement for the sins of the people. Christ being born under the law for us, keeping it perfect, and then suffering the death of the cross. Now let's go on to consider that other key aspect of the birth of the Lord Jesus, which gives Christmas its glory, fills our hearts with wonderment. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary as a divine child. Noted earlier, Gabriel's announcement upon his appearance to Mary that memorable day, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And here's how the birth of Jesus, so vastly different, once again, from all other children, because he was born as the God-man. Why was it necessary for Jesus to be God? You remember the story in the Bible of the rich man who came to Jesus one day on the road, knelt down before him and asked what good thing he needed to do in order that he might get into heaven. You remember Jesus' response to that man? How he told him, well, keep the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't give false testimony, honor your father and your mother. Well, the man was glad to tell Jesus about how he'd done such a nice job of doing that from the time he was little. How Jesus then looked at him and loved him and said, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And how that man then walked away from Jesus, terribly disappointed and feeling blue, because he was made to realize that he had not done the masterful job of obeying God's commandments as he thought he had been doing. So why do I bring this story up in connection with our discussion of the birth of Jesus as true God? As a reminder, on the one hand, of how impossible it is for any mortal man or woman to live the flawless life of perfection God requires to gain eternal life on their own. And on the other hand, to emphasize why Jesus' conception by the Holy Spirit and being born of a virgin is so important and so indescribably wonderful. We celebrate Jesus' birth at Christmas because he was born as the Son of God, possessing in himself the ability to live as true God, a holy life for us, to fend off all the temptations of the devil so that his sinless life in conformity with God's commandments might then be credited to each one of us by faith, and all of our sins erased from the divine ledger forever. For example, our transgressions of observing church festivals like Easter and Christmas at times in a ho-hum manner. Done it before, nothing special. Our iniquities of allowing ourselves at times to be distracted by the glow and the glitter of the world's empty way of observing Christmas. Our sins of worshiping the Lord with hearts that are not brimming over with wonderment and awe for all that He in love has done for us. And all our other moral failures of which we're guilty are missing of the bullseye of the perfection of the target. You know, that's what sin is, the basic meaning of the word sin, missing of the bullseye of holiness of the target that God expects. And also the original sin that we're born with that we did get handed down to us by our parents. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary with no sin virus passed on to Him from sin-infected parents so that He might then fulfill God's law for us, become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And His deity was also essential, so that when He went forward to the cross of Calvary, offered up His life there, that the blood that He shed on the cross was so precious that it could compensate for all the sinners of the world from the beginning of time to the very end. He became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. It's a passage in Psalms that says, "No one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for him, because the ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough that he should live on forever and not see decay." And St. Peter writes in his first epistle, "You know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for you." And so as you travel in spirit to Bethlehem this week, Thursday, Friday, as you step into the stable in spirit, walk over to the manger, fix your gaze upon the baby that's lying there with hay for a pillow and a mattress of straw. As you look at his little fingers, button of a nose, perhaps hear him fussing, ponder why he lies in such mean estate where oxen and cattle have been feeding, that it's out of love for us sinners that the silent word is pleading. Think about how nails and spear will pierce him through and how he'll bear the cross for me and you. And then worship him in reverent awe with a heart brimming over with love. We close then with prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the marvelous manner in which you gave our most precious Christmas gift, your only sinless Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Help us to gain a glimpse of your great love for us again this Christmas. Keep us mindful of the purpose for Jesus' coming, and keep us ever grateful that he came for us. In his name we ask it. Amen. May the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. No.
not your Holy Spirit from me.